It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thank you for listening. You know, today's the first day this week that I feel in a groove. Yesterday felt pretty good. Today, now, you know, we have all those days off. I am a creature of habit. Right. I am a routine guy. I get out of my routine. It's difficult for me to get back into the routine. But today feels like, I personally feel like it's there.
Well, you did it. Congratulations. Right, yeah, we're back. Yeah. Right, I mean, yeah. Yeah. You just talked about the Eagles for a couple hours, you know. But it's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Wow. Yep.
So I actually feel like I'm in a bit of a rhythm, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hitting those buttons is as good as usual?
Ah, dang. I had it down.
Yeah. What'd you think of the D?
Yep. I think it's because that little brain juice is starting to kick.
Yeah. Well, I've timed it now. I drink about 115. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, I've noticed.
I pushed it back a little bit.
Hell yeah.
215-592-9494. Main thing today, should Kevin Betul be coaching for his job on Sunday? Kristen in Philly, now a regular. You're on WIP. What's up, Kristen?
Hey, what's up? Okay, yes, I do believe he should be. Because one, the issue what we're having is lack of training. They train him, 30%? So he can not only give us 30% of the results, and you can see it in every game. 1 minute, we up 21-0 against the Cowboys, and then the second half is like nothing. Mm-hmm. So, like, and the only game I can sit there and say that he did pretty well with the play calling is the Charger game. What messed that up was A.J. Brown dropping the ball in the end zone, which allowed the Chargers to come up, and we had the tie, and they won in the overtime.
Mm-hmm. KP, so, yeah. Make him throw that interception in the end of the game?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay, all right.
Okay? Yeah. But A.J. Brown dropped that ball.
He did.
In the end zone.
He did.
Okay? But, yeah. So if he didn't drop that ball in the end zone where he had it tucked under him,
yeah.
Okay, we would have got 7 points right there. And yeah. There would have been no reason for a tie because the game would have been ended.
Yeah.
And they got a tie due to a field goal. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that was the best game that Kevin Petullo, in my opinion, has ever called. But when you train somebody for 30%, you can only get 30% of the result.
I apologize. I'm not sure I follow on the training 30%. What is that? What do you
okay,
mean by that?
Like job. Like you have a job, right?
I do.
I have a career. You have a career.
Yep.
Right? So I'm a psychologist, right? If I didn't get no training, but 30% of training, I would have clients jumping out of windows, killing themselves.
Whoa.
Why? Because I'm only giving them 30% of the work.
Right. But I'm asking where I understand if you only train 30% of what you should, that you won't be as good. I don't know where the 30% of the number, where is that coming from?
I feel like they didn't train Kevin Petullo well enough for this position.
Oh,
he's been in an organization for years, but he went to a new position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't train them well enough.
Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, no,
and
listen.
Because of that, now here's another thing too, right?
Yes.
I have integrity, okay? Mm. If I didn't have the proper training, I'm not taking that job.
Well, I'm sure he thought he
because
had the proper training.
Because the results are going to fall back on me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So that's why everybody's saying, and it is him. It is him. Because besides the O-line, because there's no scheming there, right? But like I said, if you look at all the games, we be up. And then the second half, what happened? What happened in that Cowboys game.
Now, let me ask you this. You're a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Are you the one that can prescribe?
Psychologist.
Okay, so you don't prescribe medicine?
No.
Okay, all right. And that jumping out of windows thing, I mean, that was a pretty strong statement. You must be pretty good at it.
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, there you go.
I'm on practice.
All right, Kristen.
there you go.
Well, for next question today, do you have a notable event from the 90s?
Of course I do.
Okay, what do you got?
The assassination and the rise of Biggie and Tupac, East Coast, West Coast rivals.
That was huge. I mean, that was huge. Thank you for the call, Kristen.
That obviously would have been my Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
Yes.
Pac dying. Yes.
Pac dying, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the East Coast, West Coast thing is one of the craziest things that's ever happened in entertainment.
Yeah.
That not just that there was a rivalry or diss tracks or anything. That happens all the time. But, like, that they were shooting at each other?
Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was actually a sad time for the hip-hop community with that stuff going on, because Biggie was quickly becoming one of the bigger rappers out there.
So, for sure.
And both dying at such a young age, having that happen at such a young age, it's something that certainly appeared it could be prevented.
For sure.
But, you know, not having the right people around you, that puts you in this sort of that position. And, man, we lost two great ones.
Was it the BET Awards or the source? It was the BET Awards where it was the fight on stage or whatever?
Oh, yeah, with the – no, that was because that was a New York thing.
Okay.
So that was the Source Awards.
Source Awards.
Awards. Remember that? The Source Awards?
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Remember, the Source is a big deal. Yes. I mean, when magazines were a big deal.
Well, they helped promote the whole East Coast, West Coast stuff. Yeah, the Source.
Let's get to our Source on Baseball. Why don't we do that, Fritz?
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, we should.
I know. Look.
Well, you know what? Flyers 50 up there. Because I forgot we were doing this. But yeah, here we go.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
What happened?
He's ripping me for saying I'm just into a groove.
Right.
And he's like, it's no big deal. Meanwhile, it's his segment.
Yeah,
and
fumbled it completely.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
So anyway, so
are you locked in there?
I actually am pretty locked in. I'm gonna be completely honest.
Do you want
with you.
One of my little brain drinks?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right,
but I'm good.
Okay.
I moved the bros thing in there.
All right, well get to the thing.
Yeah.
All right, so according to Buster Olney, he thinks that it's inevitable that the Mets will end up with either Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez. So Ranger obviously still out there.
Yeah.
Seems like the only two teams in on them are the Orioles and Mets. The Mets need a starting pitcher. I actually think it's either one of them is going to be in the Orioles or one of them is going to be on the Mets. So,
those two guys.
Yeah,
Framber. Whichever one goes, the other one goes the other place.
Let me, and I understand, given his how much money we already have committed to the pitching staff, and given his sort of like metrics as he throws less hard every year and the injury issues, I understand not giving Ranger a big contract. I will promise you this, Ranger in some friggin' playoff game against the Mets, if he's on the Mets, is going to dominate us. I cannot handle him being on the Mets. Ranger would really bother me on the Mets. I'd much rather see Ranger on the Orioles.
Well, things considered.
I can root for him on the
Orioles.
Yeah,
but honestly, so I hear you. I'd be more worried about Framber going to the Mets than Ranger. So,
well, but I don't care about.
Well, but I care about the Phillies.
Right.
So while I hear you, I would rather than them end up with Ranger than Framber. And I love Ranger, but I'm not. You know, I'm not losing sleep at night because Ranger Suarez is a Met. Now, if they happen to face him in the postseason, the Mets go on a run, and we know what Ranger can do in the postseason. We understand all that. But, I mean, Framber also has won a World Series. So it's not like he's not been a big game pitcher. And he shoved against the Phillies. Remember him? He was touching all the hair, and people thought he was cheating against the Phillies?
I don't remember it. No.
Because you weren't here during that time. But I remember we did a whole day of, like, was Framber Valdez cheating against the Phillies? So It would be a bummer, obviously.
Ranger doesn't feel like a Mets guy unless the money's low.
He feels like an Oriole.
Yeah.
Like, Framber feels like a Met.
Stearns doesn't feel like, oh, I'm going to go give this left-hander $100 million who's throwing 90. He was throwing 94 three years ago.
Yeah. I don't... We'll see. I think that Framber's more of a Met than Ranger.
All right.
So, but still.
I don't want to see Ranger on that.
I don't either.
No, it'd be a bummer.
Yeah.
It'd be a bummer.
I felt the same way about Schwarber going there.
Yeah.
I'm like, if he goes somewhere else, all right, we don't want to see him with the Mets.
Yeah, but I would have been mad if he went there because I thought he would be turning his back on the Phillies.
You'd have been mad at Schwarber, yeah.
Ranger, I wouldn't necessarily, because the Phillies weren't going to re-sign Ranger.
Right.
Unless his market collapsed and they gave him like a one-year deal.
One of those two guys is a playoff riser and one is not.
Yeah, well, Schwarber's the third most postseason home runs in the history of baseball.
Oh, right, yeah. When did they come, 100 years ago?
Well, some came in 2022.
Okay.
Some came in 23. None in 24. And 2 and 25
in the same game. Yeah, one hit
and led off the game four with a double.
Yes,
people forget that.
Okay, they do forget that.
not lead off. Sorry. Yeah. He was batting second.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad we cleared that up. Also, from Matt Gelb.
Yes.
On the JT Realmuto negotiations. So he puts it this way. He says that this is two stubborn parties exercising their rights to be stubborn. And I think he's going back to the winter of 24 or the winter when he's heading into arbitration and the Phillies kind of stiffed him in a way. No need to cut that. I'm just saying that JT said no hard feelings when they brought him to arbitration. And, it's something that players sometimes get offended by when they offer you something lower than what you feel worth. So they think maybe JT is using that now. And he also wrote that JT wants more than the Phillies have offered. The club is believed to have discussed various multi-year scenarios with the catcher as one of the most decorated catchers in the sport. Realmuto commands a level of respect.
He's going to end up a Philly because there's nowhere else for him to go and there's nothing else for them to do. There's no way he's not going to end up a Philly. I think it's 100% chance.
Yeah. I mean, unless there's another team out there that wants JT, he clearly is hope. Is he hoping another team jumps up and offer him what he's looking for, or is he hoping the Phillies just do it?
My position is just hoping the Phillies do. I've not heard one rumor about JT going to another team.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox have been kind of in there, but right. that's really died down. Like, maybe just waiting for one team to get in and make the Phillies sweat a little bit. I'm a little surprised because there's been a lot of theories that the Bichette stuff was put out there to put pressure on JT. I thought maybe, okay, well, JT's camp's going to put out he's looking here, and that makes the Phillies have to feel like they have to blink. But it kind of feels like we're just in a staring match.
This is just one of those things where each side thinks the other side has no other options and they're both right. So they just stare at each other until they both realize they have no other options. And if it's really the arbitration thing, grow up. That's what arbitration is.
And they made him the highest paid catcher in baseball history.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that arbitration's annoying. I get it. But you still holding a grudge against the team because of that after they made you the highest paid catcher in baseball is a smidge annoying.
So there's a chance we could have a begrudgingly re-sign JT Realmuto.
Possibly.
Because he's not going to re-sign on a deal that he wants. It's going to be him caving to what the Phillies offered.
Yeah.
You think that's what happened? Or do you think the Phillies cave? I don't know.
I think they'll meet in the middle.
Because here's what I think. I think the Phillies most certainly need JT Realmuto, and they know it.
But I think also JT needs the Phillies.
Yeah, but I agree with Ike in that I believe that the Phillies will blink.
They would cave before
I think
JT does.
Blink before
because
JT
they
does.
Don't have conviction in themselves to go find something new and find something else. I understand it. I just think there's so much more fun other scenarios rather than bringing back JT.
The problem is that the fun other scenario is paying a guy $30 million in Bo Bichette and then finding whatever your catching situation is.
Uh-huh.
And JT doesn't make $30 million. He makes $15 million.
I know.
So,
but then we can get off, boom. Yeah. And then we can start, with the wheels in motion. Motion here a little bit rather than we're just gonna bring back JT. Yeah. Bohm's gonna hit four, Adolis is gonna bat five, and let's roll it out there and see how it goes.
At least,
so
I don't know about that.
So, Bichette in the lineup replace Bohm. You got Marshawn as your catcher,
well, or they sign so they could sign Victor Caratini,
who is that?
So, he's been mostly a like journeyman type catcher. Last year, him and JT had very similar numbers. And he's a couple years younger, will cost way less, and pitchers love throwing to him. So,
sign me up!
There's also trade scenarios. Gelb laid out Ryan Jeffers, who is of the Twins, hit like 25 home runs last year, is a right-handed bat. I don't know what he is defensively. Obviously, we know the value JT brings from that scenario. Ivan Herrera is a catcher on the Cardinals. They have a million catchers. Maybe they can get into that market in a trade. Now, do they provide what he provides defensively? Probably not. I think Caratini would. Herrera and Jeffers are bat-first catchers.
I guess I'm just wondering, does losing JT and adding Bichette, because you're losing JT and Bohm, are the Phillies, does it still make them better? Are they in a better position? I know Bichette is younger, so moving forward, you look good. I'm just wondering what it does to the team for next year.
I just like, JT had a couple of good runs this year. He's still like a 704 OPS, hit 16 home runs guy.
So you wouldn't miss him.
I just think they could replace that.
Yeah.
A lot easier than they could find another Bo Bichette.
Okay. Somewhere.
That would be my guess. 215, is that it, Jack?
Yes.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Should Kevin Batul be coaching for his job on Sunday? Derek and Paoli. You're on WIP. What's
going
up, Derek?
On? Happy New Year, fellas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Derek.
What's up, D? Happy New Year.
Yeah. It's all good. Listen, I'm kind of conflicted on that. I just want some stability, but I feel like because Sirianni don't call plays, if we keep getting coordinators that are successful, like they're just going to keep changing and changing and changing and changing and changing. So I just feel like at some point, like we're not going to have no stability until we get like Toke Sirianni. Just if there's people say it's his offense, well, if it's his offense, like he should be able to call the plays. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that kind of confuses me a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, I just like in terms of us getting new offensive coordinators every year, that's going to be life here. Here's the thing on Petullo. Okay, let's say we all agree we don't want to change offensive coordinators every year. We keep Kevin Petullo, and let's say it works out, and Kevin Petullo has a great year next year. He will be a head coach. In that, like, anyone who has success here is going to be a head coach. So I think if it were to work out and they keep Kevin Petullo and it works out for the offense, then we're losing him anyway. So I just think we're in a world where if the head coach is not the play caller, we're going to end up with a different offensive coordinator unless, you know, you brought up Frank Reich a few times. Unless you end up getting a guy that's a point in his career where he's not looking to be a head coach anymore. He just wants a stable place.
I'm going to need a Vic Fangio situation.
Yeah, yeah. But those guys don't – not as much with offense nowadays.
Yeah, you know? Most of the offensive guys are younger guys.
Yes. Yeah. Even, you know, Dable's a guy who's going to be an OC next year. But if Dable has two good years as an OC
– he's back in the head coach cycle.
He's going to be head coach again, you know. So I hear you, Derek. I think to me the biggest thing is like let's look to next year for a second. Let's say they lose on Sunday, offense doesn't look good, they decide they want continuity. Fast forward to week two next year, and we see the same problems on offense, then you are in – you thought it was rough with Petullo this year, just in terms of the conversation,
right.
You know, and the media scrutiny, and you can say that doesn't matter. It matters. I can tell it matters. It 100% matters. And I think you are in an untenable situation next year.
Oh, for sure. Real quick, though. So it's kind of interesting how it's, you know, Hurts versus Purdy, right? So I do think Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, right? But one thing I'll say about the advantage that Brock Purdy has is, like, he's been with Shanahan since he came in the league.
Yep.
Shanahan, he hasn't won the big one, but he's been there twice. And it's hard to win the big one. Like, a lot of things got to go right to win the big one. But for him to take two, you know, below-average, like, quarterbacks to the Super Bowl, and even with Mac Jones, like, Mac Jones kept San Francisco relevant this year, like, because of, you know, Shanahan knows how to get the best out of these quarterbacks. And like I said, you know, I love Jalen Hurts. I'll always be like, yeah, Hurts. But I also feel like if he was in a system, right, with a guy who
like Shanahan.
To,
yeah, you're saying like Shanahan. And, yeah.
Like, even like the guy from Green Bay, he's not on Shanahan's level. But I will say, like, at least Jordan Love can benefit from having the same guy. Like, we always say, like, Baker Mayfield's had a different coordinator every year. Well, Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft for a reason. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I feel like guys, like, concept the game a little bit different. You know, they interact different. They take stuff in different. And when you're number one pick in the draft, you're that for a reason because you can take on more responsibilities than the guy that goes in the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth round. So,
well, and the other thing is, Derek, and this is coming from a Baker guy. I think Baker's a great player, but like they lost Liam Cohen and the Bucks, and they started off hot this year, but the Baker did not have a good year this year, certainly compared to last year.
Continuity, man.
Yeah,
I just think the coaches that like McVay and them guys that can hold that clipboard and they know what they want to do. They don't have to – you know what I'm saying? I just think those guys, man, he's been successful, but I just wish he could, you know, call some plays more. But my answer, listen, that 96 blizzard was a bad blizzard. But I'm going to go with when Tonya Harding had Nancy Kerrigan beat up, man, for the figure skating, man. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was – that it began – thank you for the call, Derek. That doesn't seem real. That doesn't seem like it could be real. It seems like a TV script.
It's like a made-for-TV like a Sunday. Remember the old Sunday movie of the week?
Yes, that's what
like
it seems like.
A movie of the week thing.
That you're watching it and you're like, oh, well, this would never happen. You know, and you remember Jeff Galooly is Tanya Harding's husband or boyfriend or whatever it was.
Have you ever watched the, is it a 30 for 30?
I did not watch that. No.
I don't know if it's 30 for 30 or it's some other
some doc.
But it's a doc on it, though. They even made a little they do a movie? Like a mini series? I think they did a mini series on it.
I feel like recently there might have been something. In the last few years, maybe. The point that Derek made about Kyle Shanahan and quarterbacks is right.
Yeah.
In that Kyle Shanahan is good with quarterbacks. Good.
Always has been, yeah.
But in terms of Purdy, I think, and I said this yesterday, I think what Shanahan does is it gives quarterbacks a base level of success in that if you do what he says, to an extent, he wants sort of a robot in there. Mm-hmm. Do exactly what I say, it'll work. I think there's a baseline, there's a floor. I think Purdy having the year he had in 23, as like statistically the best quarterback in football, by and then this year, even in his limited time, has statistically been a top five quarterback in football. That Shanahan obviously helps, but Purdy is also obviously I think rises above the performance of Garoppolo and Mac Jones.
Yeah, because he's out there. Yes. I mean, he's out there. He's in the moment. He has to make the decisions. You give Brock Purdy a lot of credit, but Kyle Shanahan's track record speaks for himself. He's the quarterback. I mean, the OC in Atlanta when Matt Ryan won the MVP.
Yep.
When they went to the Super Bowl, we know he gets blamed for the whole 28-3 thing, but. Fact of the matter is, I don't know if Atlanta's offense has ever looked as good as it since Kyle Shanahan was there. And he left Atlanta, right, to go be the head coach in San Francisco. RG3's rookie year, it was under the Shanahan. Shanahan was there.
Yeah.
So he's worked with quarterbacks, and the only one he couldn't fix was Trey Lance.
Yes, and Trey Lance can't play.
They had Trey Lance, right?
They did. They drafted Trey Lance.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Yeah, the thing Shanahan does do, it's funny because McVay, as part of the Shanahan tree, is the same way.
He's good too, yeah.
They're also kind of cowardly.
They have that. Yeah, the same. I think LaFleur is like that too a little bit.
He is. LaFleur is cowardly.
Yeah.
They're just, there's a certain amount of risk where, you know, we have felt the too much risk here before, or this aggressiveness rather than using risk.
Yeah.
There's always risk.
Yeah.
Aggressiveness. Shanahan and McVay, you know, McVay kicking all those field goals against the Eagles earlier this year,
I think, to Biden.
Ended up costing them.
Yep.
And I think Shanahan, to an extent, can do that as well. You know, can be a little less aggressive.
And that's surprising because they're offensive coaches.
They should have confidence.
That's usually a defensive coach's mindset.
Yeah,
that's something Mike Tomlin would do in a heartbeat.
Yes, let's go win
the
game.
Take
16-9. Yeah.
We're a big fan of take the points.
I am a take the points guy, yes.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Should Kevin Petula be coaching for his job on Sunday? Next question today is, give us a notable 90s event, as this week is the anniversary of the blizzard of 96. Coming up next, 3:30 Wednesday. You know what happens 3:30 Wednesday.
What you got?
Flyers in 50.
Oh, big one of the barn last night.
We haven't had Broads on in a while.
He's been on the air.
Oh, yeah, we heard that yesterday. Oh, should we just ruin his segment?
No, don't do it today.
Do you have the audio?
I mean, yeah.
I knew y'all was.
Well, he should be more prepared this time.
He should be.
He should be.
Believe me, he's been thinking about this all day.
Yeah, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You know who's prepared? That is the Car Czar, John Ashdale. Colonial Hyundai prepared to get you in a brand new Hyundai. Do whatever. Don't wait. You can get over there now. You know, what would you wait for, right? Maybe you'd wait for the car you want to be in stock. Well, Colonial has hundreds of brand new Hyundais in stock. Konas and Palisades and Tucson's, whatever you need. You might wait for, I want a better warranty. Well, it doesn't get better than the best. They're going to give you America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. And price and your trade, you know, wait, I want more for my trade. Maybe if I wait, there'll be something better. No. Great trade incentives every day at Colonial, including a guaranteed $6,500 for your trade, no matter what condition it's in. Financing, you don't have to wait for that either. They're going to get you better financing than anyone else, and the process streamlined in their brand new amazing dealership to make sure everything is fast, easy, and better. Lincoln Highway in Downingtown is where Colonial Hyundai is. They're always at ColonialHyundai.com 24/7. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details.